Hello and welcome to the Rangers Rundown, the internet's number one off-season podcast. We were extended the qualifying offer, and you bet we took it. I'm Matt, and I'm joined tonight by Hayden.
Hi.
And Mike.
Our stove is always hot.
And what are we going to do with $17.9 million?
You bought a mic stand, right? I understand.
I did.
So,
I have to buy a new office chair, and then I think I'm set, honestly. I'm pretty good.
Cool. Yeah.
Some beer.
Bottle of wine. Oh, yeah. The beer budget for the Rangers Rundown exceeds $15 million for sure. So.
Yeah. We don't get the cheap stuff.
No, yeah. But I don't know that any of us are a big baller enough to drop a $195,000 tip. Did y'all see the Red Sox did that?
No.
They went to a nightclub in L.A. after clinching the World Series and racked up $300,000 in alcohol, including like 170 bottles of champagne. And then someone tipped $195,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, to be that waiter.
Ran the debit card for $500,000. It's like, yeah, it's good. Just swipe it.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Do you have to call a bank?
I would think you'd have to. You can't just push a transaction like that through. They've got to have limits.
Yeah, like I get like a mobile notification when anything's over like $200. So...
Well, they probably and it's like,
are you Capital One's like, are you sure that this was you? Please, you know, answer this email and enter it in this security code before we proceed. So yeah, 500K. Somebody's gonna have to ask about that.
The only time I've ever swiped on a card anywhere, you know, like big time numbers, I did not actually get something before the transaction went through, but my bank sure as hell asked questions afterward because I swiped my debit card for $12,000 at a gas station once.
What?
Yeah, I accidentally bought a gas station a couple years ago. The guy just, he hit the zero trying to clear it and rang up $12,000 for a 12-pack of beer.
Nice.
And he swiped my credit card and it ran. And then he was like, oh no. Oh. And he couldn't cancel it because it already run. So he had to refund me $12,000. And then, yeah. Credit card company called pretty quick. And they're like, hey, did you buy a gas station? Like, no. Just a little whoopsie. Got back in a couple days. It was all good. But yes, so if you're asking how my credit is, it used to be good, and then I bought a gas station.
Yeah.
That gas station also, everybody who worked there got arrested and thrown in like federal prison for drug smuggling. So it probably looks real bad that I swiped a credit card for $12,000 at that gas station like 6 months before the feds closed it down.
Interesting.
Just thought about that.
That is interesting for sure.
Ah, man. I'm going to get arrested.
Or maybe this is just an elaborate scheme by Max to try and throw the feds off his tail.
Yeah. I have a podcast. I can't be a criminal. I'm sorry. I'm just an online white boy. I don't commit big crimes. Anyway, speaking of online white boys, baseball... Texas has some new white boys, specifically one, Chris Woodward. Welcome.
Welcome.
Woo!
Woody.
Yeah. Did you see Levi tweeted that he looks exactly like Jace Tingler? Or no, it wasn't Levi, it was Tepid.
No, I didn't see that.
Does he really?
They look identical. I'm going to pull this up real quick because it made me kind of
sad. I'm
doing
it too.
Yeah, it's his last tweet. Here, I'll put it in the Discord. This is really good radio content. Everybody's appreciating me sharing.
Oh, wow. They look exactly the same.
I mean, it's just dudes with beards wearing blue hats and sunglasses, but still.
Wow. I'm going to retweet that right now from the Rangers Rundown account. Follow us on Twitter at Rangers Rundown.
For getting the big scoops. Like, knowing what Jace Tingler looks like, because I'm not going to lie, I had never seen Jace Tingler before this picture.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
In my head, a man named Jace Tingler looked really different from this, but I couldn't really tell you what he looked like. So, yeah. Woodward, interesting pickup. He was the third base coach with the Dodgers the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good move. I mean, I think Texas is clearly trying to target names from very successful organizations and see, you know, what those guys have accrued or what those guys were contributing to organizations between him and the guy who came down from the Cubs, whose name I remembered literally until I started talking about him.
Something like Riemann I'm blanking. Yeah. But yeah, it's good that we're pilfering from the winning organizations.
Post. Mm-hmm. So the we'll just edit that out. Anyway, the Rangers brought down Gerard Raymond from the Chicago Cubs. We don't have to edit any of this. We don't
have I'm not going to.
Oh no. That's not our way.
But I think that's very cool. There's a couple of names that are doing this. I mean, you're seeing other teams do the same thing because the Giants just did this to the Dodgers. Was that yesterday that was announced?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah.
Which I think is very, very cool. Bringing in... What was his role with Los Angeles? Was he like a... He wasn't the GM.
Was he I think he was an assistant GM.
Assistant GM or...
You know, he's going to be president of baseball operations. Yeah,
Farhan Zaidi was is named the Giants president of baseball ops, poaching him from Los Angeles. I think it's a good move for San Francisco. It's a rough situation to step into, but he wouldn't do it if he didn't think he liked something in there. So you're seeing teams try and take talent from successful orgs, and that really works out for some guys. So let's hope that the Rangers weren't simply enamored of the 15th guy they interviewed, just sick of the whole process, but saw something they really liked.
I like it that he's already gone out on a team dinner with the players who were actually in town and had availability, and the message they had for him is they were mad. They want to compete next year, and so I mean they're not playing the rebuilding game. They want to go out and win. I think that's a really good attitude for those players to have.
Yeah, I hadn't seen about the dinner, but that's cool. I like the idea that he's already trying to get out there and connect.
It's like nine guys. Say about players so far. Andreas was there. I think DeShields was there. I think Profar was there. Yeah. Yeah, it was just an impromptu thing he did since he was in town.
I like it. I mean, he's relatively young. I think he's in his early 40s. Hasn't managed, but definitely has a lot of big league coaching experience. He played like a dozen years in the big leagues, so he's definitely going to be sort of that young kind of player-manager guy that a lot of teams have been going for of late. You know, he's coming out of the Dodgers organization, which is one of the most analytical in the game. And I think that Texas, though, definitely didn't want to just try and hire a straight analytics guy. No one really does. But it seems like Woodward is somebody who's very used to working in a heavily analytic environment, but is himself not some sort of stats nerd guy. He'll listen to those dudes, but he's a player. I mean, he's a player's manager, and he's going to be able to hopefully translate it because he did that job with Los Angeles. You know, they talked. I know the big one that's jumped up to me in this is looking at Manny Machado's defensive stats pre and post trade. He was quite bad with Baltimore to start the season as a shortstop, and ended the season with very good metrics with Los Angeles. And I know a number of national writers have been saying that a lot of it had to do with just the coaching that Los Angeles did pregame in terms of where he should be positioned. And then their utilization of shifts. So they had a lot to say with Machado, but just moving a couple feet over, a couple feet here, there, you know, because they put that kind of prep work in where presumably Baltimore wasn't, which I don't think is much of a stretch considering Baltimore is terrible.
Baltimore has no idea what's going on.
They really don't. Also, I love Baltimore finally trading for international bonus base money to try and get the Victor Mesa brothers and then whiffing on both of them. That's really choice to me.
Yeah.
Good job, Orioles. You tried. You didn't try very hard, but you tried.
And the other good thing about Woodward is he's going to help us get a downtown Sasquatch bobblehead doll.
Yes.
One night at a ball game.
Sasquatch.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That would be awesome.
It's a silly little thing, but yeah. I dig it.
Chuck Morgan would be up for it, I think. I mean, he did the on deck circle.
Snow monkey. Yeah, we had the snow monkeys with Nolan Ryan, right?
Yeah, yeah,
something like that. Yeah, downtown so
I'm,
Sasquatch.
I'm excited about the Woodward hire. I think he's interesting. I mean, I don't think he was one of the. He definitely was one of the guys that we talked about when we did our sort of preview on the managerial hire. Although apparently Texas has been in contact with him since around the time that we had that conversation. I think they reached out to him during the NLDS.
Yeah, that's what I read today.
Against the Braves.
So. But they only contacted him on off days. They were very mindful that they didn't want to do anything when he was prepping for a game.
Yeah, which, again, you got to dig that. So, not one of the guys that was on sort of our radar. They did interview several of the dudes that we were talking about. I had my suspicions that Texas might have gone for a Latin manager. Just after what we talked about, I thought that was actually a really interesting mm-hmm. point mm-hmm. that was raised in that conversation a month ago. But apparently Woodward does speak at least functional Spanish, and that they're definitely in a one.
Yeah, he said he could be better.
Yeah, he's so. Like used to dealing with these players, and it looks like the Rangers are going to keep Don Wakamatsu and Jace Tingler and
Beasley.
Tony Beasley. Yeah.
So I think the odd man out there is probably Bouchel.
Yep.
And which sucks because the Bouchels of the world are already losing out to other folks.
Yeah. Changing of the guard.
Yeah, a sad drink for Sam Ellinger, who I don't think is very good. At me, Longhorns fans. Long live Bouchel. But
I was actually at those games when Bouchel was still playing with the Rangers. So yeah, he was a team favorite. A fan favorite. Couldn't hit, but
that's basically the starter kit for a Rangers fan favorite. You can't
but he was a hell of a defender at third base. Not quite at the level of Beltre, but he was close.
Also
he was very good.
Starting point for a Rangers fan favorite: be a very good third baseman.
Yeah,
it usually helps to not be able to hit. Beltre overcame that deficiency. Turns out, Rangers fans can get behind a Hall of Famer. You know, weird.
All I want to say is it's November 7th, and Beltre has still not announced his retirement, so there is hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's going to be such an interesting thing to follow, too. You know, does Texas either do that? Because I think if Texas had a slightly different roster composition, given that 2019 does not look like a competitive year, I don't think I would normally care at all. I would love the idea of bringing him back, doing another tour, seeing what's left in that bat. He is so close to a couple of other milestones, and he's just fun to watch. He was still good. Like, he was still a good player last year. It's just finding a way of squeezing that guy into the roster when you're already trying to find playing time for Odor, Profar, Elvis Andrews, Willie Calhoun.
IKF.
Middle infield slots are all kind of enough. And then you've got Isaiah Kanafalefa, who the team presumably wants to see a little bit more of, to see if he's a regular player or if he's strictly a very, very good backup. So it's unfortunate that Texas finds itself in a position where it can't be picking up like cast off corner outfielders to see if those guys have some pop in them. Shout out to Andrew McCutchen, who in a different roster I would love to pick up, but who would be one of 17 corner outfielders for Texas.
Yeah.
Dang it. I really wish Kutch could still fake it in center field. I miss Kutch.
Yeah, that's what AJ Pollock is for.
Oh, man. I know, was it Baseball Reference projected him at 345? One of the major outfits had a projection of him at 345 that was making the rounds. I don't know who all has done their salary. I think it was not Baseball Reference. It was MLB Trade Rumors.
Yeah.
But maybe The Athletic. Somebody had him pinned at 345, and that's a years and dollar figure that I would love Texas to be involved in for AJ Pollock. One of my favorite outfielders. He's a great defender, very good hitter. I think he would fit this roster really, really well. And that's the kind of deal where you're talking about him still being a useful player on a team in 2020-2021, and a guy who would be on the way out contract-wise when hopefully Texas's big wave of elite prospects are starting to come up. Plus, he bats right-handed, which is a thing that Texas seems to have determined to be illegal of late. And so I dig getting a righty who doesn't suck in the lineup.
Yay.
It would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, big picture, kind of, you know, zooming out a bit, is, yeah, we didn't have a good season this year and we finished in last place in the division. It's just, it's too easy for me to squint and see a competitive team. I don't think that we are one of the teams that we've seen a lot recently. Like, I don't know, the Phillies or the Braves or the Reds or something like that in past years, where there's just kind of no hope. And you're just playing out the string and just waiting for good draft picks to get drafted. And then 5 years later, maybe they'll be good. It's just too easy to squint and see a competitive team, an 85-win team that catches lightning in a bottle. And I think that like a guy like AJ Pollock and Drew Smiley, like we already talked about, or we haven't talked about yet, but that we already acquired, and some smart moves in free agency, maybe some trades where we can move some high upside corner outfielders. Let's do some good things. Like let's have a good winter.
The Drew Smiley acquisition is one I really, really like for Texas. I wanted Texas to sign Drew Smiley on that rehab deal. There were a couple of guys floating around like that. Texas ended up with Edinson Volquez, who is a potentially interesting piece, but...
Probably not. I'm not counting on anything.
I wouldn't expect Volquez to be particularly good, but he in theory, could be a league average starter, which Texas does need. That's why I like Smiley, is that I think he has the upside to still be a much better pitcher.
We would have killed for some league average starters last year. Besides Mike Minor.
Last season wasn't particularly robust in 2016, but he played well in limited samples before then. I think he's an interesting guy, and I think he's got the stuff there, the pieces there. He has that history of having actually been good. He's a cool piece. And
he basically cost us $1 million.
Yeah, he cost $1 million.
That's cheaper than cheap in today's baseball world.
He's a guy that Texas can potentially move or extend. And if he's not good, who cares? It was $1 million that neither of us had to spend. There's not an opportunity cost. Texas does not have a bevy of young AAA ready, major league ready pitchers who are now, going to not have that opportunity to get their lumps early in the season because Texas made a mistake and hired Drew Smiley. This just saves us from, I don't know.
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, we can depress ourselves really quickly talking about all the guys that Texas will probably end up signing. So let's just not. Let's not do that at all.
Let's just hope beyond hope and say that at least one or two of Taylor Hearn and I'm blanking on names now. Joe Palumbo and Jonathan Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
I would be really stoked if one of those guys made the team coming out of spring training because they just were.
Ooh.
Pitching hair on fire, you know?
Ooh, out of spring training. I thought you were going to say ends up being good at the end of the year.
I'm just saying.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, if you're going to go into rebuild mode, which I know they won't admit it, go full rebuild. Let's tease the fans with some young talent. I mean, I don't think any of those three guys is ever going to be a torp. You know, the bigger, better ones are still 2 to 3 years away, you know?
Right.
Although in 2021, they're projecting that Kraus, Wynn, and of course, there's a third one that is escaping me, one of the big ones.
Reagans.
That they will all three arrive in Arlington in 2021. So these guys, I think that they can be good, but they can hold down the fort until the better ones come along and then be trade pieces. Mm-hmm. I would totally be for. I would a million times more want to see Joe Palumbo on the mound than Bartolo Colon or Matt Moore. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Gives you no hope.
Like raking the mound. I would be down to see Matt Moore putting that stay dry down on the mound. Doing what he should be doing out there. Just tending to it generally. I think it's kind of wild to think about how, I don't know, maybe even 3 years ago, if. I knew that Texas had a Taylor Hearn organization, I'd be stoked because he would be far and away easily the greatest pitching prospect in the org. And it is really wild to me that we have a guy who is as interesting, has as cool a story, and is as potentially good a pitcher as Taylor Hearn is. And we're like, yeah, but let's talk about Cole Wynn. Or, yeah, that's fine, but Hans Kraus. Or like, I don't know, Owen White could be better. Like, Cole Reagans is an interesting prospect too, and he's completely forgotten, I think, for
Reagans seems to be completely, like you said, completely forgotten, and he's actually really good and will probably be good, and to his credit, he's got Tommy John behind him, so consider that kind of rite of passage completed, if you want to think of it that way. He's going to be really good, and we're going to go, oh yeah, we forgot that he's like our number five prospect and he's a pitcher. This is awesome.
Yeah, he actually dropped in their prospect ranking. I thought that was kind of annoying because you shouldn't have your stock lowered just because of injury.
Yeah.
when we know he's going to come back.
It kind of does make sense to lower. I mean, Tommy John still has a pretty good success rate, but you did lose a year of development. You did lose a year, and he's going to have to try and play a little bit of catch up. I don't think it's like knocking his ceiling or anything. It's just saying he is there's a little bit of luster taken off because he got a year older without getting a year of growth under him. That's a year closer to Rule 5 without getting that experience, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I really think that Reagan sort of following the system isn't so much him falling as it is a function of other guys rising in the system. So adding, you know, JPM, Taylor Hearn, Cole Wynn, seeing Joe Palumbo's recovery from injury go so smoothly, not just smoothly, but so, you know, impressively. Hans Kraus sustained that success. You know, John Hernandez popped up. You got other guys who are just doing really well. Bubba is, you know, tearing his way up those prospect rankings, unless you're Baseball America. So, you know, Reagan's slipping in the system, I think, is awesome because he's a guy who, like you're saying, I wouldn't ding his stock. It's not like he had a shoulder injury. It's not like he's ever been bad. He just got hurt, and it was Tommy John, and we've heard nothing wrong about his recovery process. I think it's pretty cool that Texas could see that guy slide down the system because he wasn't there to look good compared to all the guys who were there to look good or who come in with the luster on them that Wynn does, who obviously hasn't played yet.
Yeah, if you want to be amused, go back and take a look at the Rangers' top 30 prospects from 2017 and compare it to 2018, because there are a lot of guys whose stock dropped for good reason because of all the new guys that have come on board. Guys like Jurado and Mendez, even Trevino. I mean, they plummeted just from 1 year to another just because of all the talent that we've added in the last year.
Yeah, there's some legitimately interesting guys who are farther down that top 30, 40, 50 ranking than you would have expected in 2016 or 17 when we were starting to really dump off a lot of talent. And those guys are down there not because they're not good or not interesting. It's just because there's guys who are at higher levels who are clearly more interesting right now or who have a better pedigree going for them. And so that's pretty fun. Definitely something that's one of those highlights when you're rooting for a team that's not very good at the major league level is you really better hope you got some good kids on the farm. You know, Texas is not Baltimore.
Oh, God, no.
I'm sorry to keep ragging on Baltimore. I'm not sorry at all.
No.
Orioles. So, no. You know, we're not talking about a team that sucks and also has like a bottom third farm. Texas has some very interesting players in it right now. And sort of, I know we've talked about this a lot amongst ourselves. We talked about it on the podcast. Sort of uniquely, as a Rangers fan, Texas has a lot of interesting pitching talent.
Yes.
And that's very exciting. So,
And you know, it's...
the market, you better have some pitching talent coming up through your systems because good pitchers don't become free agents anymore.
No. Yeah, you know, it's funny because of this podcast, I really dug in and learned a lot more about the Rangers farm system this year than I ever have in the past. And I'm grateful for that. That in a season that was completely lost, there's a lot of hope out there on the farm that we can dream on. And it's coming, you know. It's a year, 2-3 years away, but this team is going to look drastically different, and they're going to be vastly improved over the next 3 to 5 years.
I think so. And there's not simply just a quantity of talent coming through. We have, by Texas standards, essentially unique talent. I wasn't a prospect guy when like DVD was the thing for Rangers prospect hounds, but I mean maybe I'm just understanding because I wasn't a prospect guy there, but I don't know that any of them really had the kind of shine on them that Wynn and Kraus especially do. Of, you know, these are dudes who have legitimate number one upsides, and that's fun.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not used to it.
When it was the year of DVD, I didn't know a single name below double A. I mean,
right.
That's what I'm talking about. I just really excited about the guys that are still a few years away. We've got so much talent that's blowing away the competition. Guys like DeMarcus Evans, guys just, all he's doing is just striking out two batters every inning. You know, that's all.
They finally, you know,
anybody can do that.
He's finally getting tired. I mean, he was not good in the Fall Stars game, but that's because he pitched more than he's probably ever pitched before in his life, and he needs to take a nap.
Yeah.
DeMarcus, just come back and know you can beat people up next year. Just shove. Just do it, big boy. You got this. No, it's there's some good stuff out there. It's going to be fun to follow as a Rangers fan over the offseason and then, you know, going into next year. So definitely looking forward to the pitching. I think the downside to being excited about all the young pitching coming up is that makes you think about the current pitching situation, which sucks, outside of, you know, Mike Minor and then maybe the allure of a Drew Smyly and an Edinson Volquez. But I think tonight, though, what we wanted to talk about wasn't who's going to be throwing the ball. It's who's going to be catching the ball, because we know who it's not going to be. And that's Robinson Chirinos, which is weird.
Very weird. That shocked me to see that they didn't tender him. Yeah. I just couldn't believe it.
Even when they announced that there were the escalators in his deal, and it was like $4.25 million or whatever. What? That seems fine. Like,
oh, yeah.
Are you going to sign a free agent catcher for demonstrably less money than that? I doubt
no.
it.
No. Especially on a one-year deal.
Yeah, on anything. You're not going to get a stopgap guy. I mean, I know we were going over the list of free agent catchers before we hit record, and it sucks. I mean, unless you, listener, are a huge fan of, like, Drew Butera or Jeff Mathis, Rene Rivera, ooh. But, like, I mean, Kurt Suzuki is 35 and hit exactly twice in his entire life. And the last 2 years he did that, so good for him. But whatever. The Rangers are not going to be the guys who are in on Grandal. I don't think they're going to be in on Wilson Ramos for the same reason as Grandal. Those are guys who are going to sign with contending teams for big money. I think the most interesting defender is Martin Maldonado, but I think everyone in baseball knows he's a good catcher, and so lots of teams are going to want him as a, you know, a second division starter kind of thing. So
maybe JD's strategy is he's going to accumulate a bunch of Brett Nicklauses that he can then trade to San Diego for Emmanuel Class A.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, it just wouldn't surprise me if the Texans just end up signing Robinson Chirinos again. Like, I mean, I look at the free agent list, I'm like, okay, which guy fits the best? Well, you can cross off those guys I just named. Okay, well, who's left? Well, the best catcher on this list is Robinson Chirinos.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you really believe in, like, Steven Vogt coming back, or you want to roll the dice on a couple years of Devin Mesoraco and hope that he's the 2014 Devin Mesoraco before his hip turned into jello and he was bad for 3.5 years. Like,
catchers with hip and knee problems, they are not a good thing.
No, generally not.
No.
Generally,
those things go in one direction.
It's just down from there. So I just don't really get. I mean, I guess you could go for Jose Lobaton and his like 35 OPS plus bat. That sounds exciting.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yay.
Why
would you just make sure that you have a bad backup catcher when you can have two backup catchers? Verbal meme.
And the two guys who are maybe the most interesting reclamation types. So, I mean, like I said, I don't think Texas makes a play for Grandal or for Ramos. They're both really good. I mean, I would be happy to see both of them come to Texas. But they don't really fit with the win curve. They're probably going to be too expensive for where Texas is playing in money. So the interesting reclamation guys are rolling the dice yet again on dudes who were good 4 years ago. And so it's either Devin Mesoraco, who's 31 and hasn't been good in forever, or Matt Wieters, who's 33 and hasn't been good in forever.
Yep.
Wait, you're forgetting someone. Jonathan Lucroy.
Ooh,
yeah.
For Jonathan.
Who was good Lucroy more recently than those other guys?
He was good. He was good right before he came to the Texas Rangers. Actually, he was really good after we traded for him.
Yeah, he was.
Home runs, and then he was complete garbage.
I'll never forgive him.
Last year, too. So, I mean, unless you really love Brian McCann.
Nope.
Bobby Wilson it is. All right. Bring it on, baby.
Yeah. It's weird. I think that it wouldn't surprise me, based off of that list that you read, if we end up acquiring a team or acquiring a catcher that's already under contract somewhere else.
Yeah.
In the form of a trade. I don't think that I think that all of us are John Daniel fans. I can speak for myself in saying that I do trust him, at least thus far. I think that he's a good talent evaluator. I don't think that he misses the fact that Chirinos hits dingers and is, you know, completely competent for a cheap price. I think that the only way that he doesn't pick up this option is if he has a plan to acquire a catcher that will make the team better than Chirinos would, whether that's because of service time or age or just pure baseball skills or whatever. I think that there has to be intentionally a guy that JD wants to acquire, not just going, I think that we should be able to do better than Chirinos. I think that there's definitely a target and maybe somebody already kind of in the crosshairs on another team, which would be kind of fun. You know, trades are fun.
I think it has to be more than a target, though. I mean, you don't
let, I would agree. Yeah,
Chirinos
yeah.
go without having a plan in place. You can't just be hoping that you can lure some guy away.
Sure. I think that then in that case, you would say that we're, you know, at least moderately to deeply involved in talks with another team about one of their catchers.
Yeah, a handshake agreement, something right. like that.
Yeah. Be like, okay, you know what? This is the plan. It looks like we'll be able to do this stuff. Let's wait until the AFL season is over or something weird like that. Or let's wait until the winter meetings for some reason. I don't know, but there has to be a very clear path to an upgrade at catcher rather than just the concept of, it's time to move on.
Yeah, it seemed like a weird move for a team to make generally. It seemed like a very strange move for Texas to make right now where it wants to have a catcher who is just going to be on the roster. Texas just needs a starting catcher next year because it doesn't look like IKF is a guy that the team wants to commit to as a regular. Yeah, certainly not as a starting catcher, but maybe not even as their primary backup catcher. I still think they want to use him more as a utility player than strictly as the second catcher on the roster.
Yeah.
And Jose Trevino may not be ready to start the season. I mean, I think he's going to be healthy, but they honestly, it doesn't really hurt them to try and give him a little bit more seasoning with the bat. You know, the glove and the game calling and the personality all seem to be there. They just want to get some better stick work. And so the team, it seems like Texas is the exact team where you'd want to have a good hitting catcher who's got a good reputation as a dude, but maybe isn't a very good game caller because Trevino doesn't need help with that. Just another catcher on the roster, a guy who's going to play a number of games and maybe is worth trading at the deadline, or is a guy you just at least like having around. So they're talking about just bringing in somebody new to work with the staff, and it seems very odd to do this over $4.25 million. Because they're probably going to sign a guy for like $2.5-3 million anyway, so it's not like they're saving a demonstrable amount of money. It's weird, and I don't think the trade market is going to be all that robust for catchers unless a team that signs one of the top free agent guys has one of those interesting second division, really really good backup type catchers. You know, maybe the Red Sox finally let Christian Vasquez go because they signed Grant Dahl or whatever, and. Sure, I mean, maybe Texas is in on that kind of stuff, but I don't know. Catching is a weird market. There's only so many guys who can do it. I think Mike was pointing out before we hit record that there's really not very many good catchers. There's one incredibly good catcher who should have been traded, and it's JT Realmuto, and Texas sure as hell isn't getting him. Nope. So, what are we doing? It's going to be Drew Butera, and it's going to make me sad. I don't want to do it. I can't do Bobby Wilson again, guys. Oh, Chris Jimenez. I can't do it. I'm not doing another season of Chris Jimenez and Bobby Wilson.
We can trade Emmanuel Clase back to the Padres for Brett Nicklaus.
Bring back
that would be Brett that'd be Nicklaus. Awesome.
Mr. Daniels, tear down this wall. Bring me Brett Nicklaus. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's Tommy Joseph. They're gonna move him behind the plate.
That's there you go. Do.
He had a good year hitting last year. I mean,
Lone Star Ball determined that Tommy Joseph is going to hit 40 home runs based off a throwaway joke by Grant Brisby. So, yeah, make him a catcher.
Cool. Yeah. Really, really weird start to the offseason. Then we have Beltre. His announcement hopefully will be soon. Followed by who knows what. I mean, Bryce Harper could theoretically sign at any time, and all of the people underneath him could sign at any time. Winter meetings are sometime like the first or second week of December, right?
I think the first week.
First week. So, I mean, what I don't want to happen, at least for the sake of us having stuff to talk about, is a repeat of last year where nobody signed until like February, and everybody was freaking out. I personally think that it was just a weird market slash I think that was the beginning of the market correcting itself. I don't think it's a new trend of to where the new normal thing where players are going to be locked out and you know, they're going to have to settle for pennies as to what they thought they were going to get in free agency. But you know, we'll see. Like, nobody predicted it last year, and it happened, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, can't wait to cover a super boring offseason.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have a podcast last year, like, so...
generate content on nothing.
But, you know, if breaking news happens, there will be a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna have your butts. Where we got this covered. Now, when Texas does the exciting thing and signs Nate Karns, yeah, whatever it is, you know, we're gonna cover Texas picking up Erasmo Ramirez. Or
yeah,
oh, man,
we should go deeper into at least Drew Smyly. We didn't really do that this episode, but that's a good pickup for basically $1 million.
I really like this Smyly pickup. I like
really good pickup.
Not as much as I like the Mike Minor pickup last year.
Yeah,
Minor cost a bunch of money, but also had the good fallback of being like, just put him back in the bullpen. He's probably pretty good.
Right.
Like, you probably get something kind of like Jake Diekman, and you're overpaying for it, but...
But we've got a Morp. He's a Morp.
And we got a decent pitcher out of it. And Smiley's a guy who, he might suck, but it costs nothing. And this is the team that should be rolling dice on guys like Drew Smiley's. Mm-hmm. So, Nate Karns is... I'm going to be pushing whenever we talk about guys we want the Rangers to sign in our next podcast. Nate Karns is the guy I want Texas to go after. Same situation, missed all last year with injury. Has his thoracic outlet. I like Nate Karns. I liked him a bunch earlier. There's some interesting guys out there. There's some legitimately interesting crappy pitchers on the market that Texas should be playing with that just aren't going to be legitimately interesting crappy catchers other than this Robinson... Chironos? I have no idea how you pronounce this name.
Robinson.
His numbers. Yeah, Robinson Chironos. I like his stats. I think he's... I don't know what idiot team released this guy. He seems pretty fun. Looks like he played with Tampa Bay. He's like a third baseman. That's weird. Anyway,
that's weird.
That guy. Yeah, he's fun.
Hey, I will say this too, though, about Chironos, who I have loved for a while, partially because he came up in 2014 to the Rangers, and I, along with like Nick Martinez and I guess still kind of a little bit Ryan Rua, like I really want them to succeed because like they didn't deserve to be a part of that team.
I'm sorry, anytime you start listing off players
I know.
Really like,
and I know
Nick Martinez. I'm like,
well, it's just kind of like, okay, this? Okay, and I've talked about this before, but like Nick Martinez was not ready to be thrown into the major league fire, but he answered the bell and he did okay, and you know, his development was probably stunted, and he, you know, to a degree, kind of sacrificed himself and like had pretty bad stats, but he was also kind of okay. And I would really like to see him kind of have things even out for him a little bit, right? So Chirinos kind of has that similar effect of the 2014 cursed season. He survived it and was also a good player and, you know, hit stingers and is always smiling and stuff like that. Follow him on Instagram. Because he's in the Japan All-Star Tour right now with like Juan Soto, I think Ronald Acuña, and all these other players that are like really fun and like national stars. And he's been posting a lot of pictures of like just pictures with all these other players, and it's been fun. So glad to see him smiling like he usually does, and we'll see him when he comes back, I guess, eventually. As a visitor. All right, so that's going to do it for us because the internet kind of crapped out a little bit there as we were wrapping up anyways. So in the interest of time and sanity, this has been the first edition of Rangers Rundown. Follow us on Twitter at Rangers Rundown, and we're on Facebook too. Email us at rangersrundown@gmail.com, I think. And yeah, we'll get through this offseason together. There's going to be lots of changes going on. Obviously, the manager's already changed. The catcher's going to be changing probably. The rotation is going to be 80% different probably. Hopefully, we get some young guys in there like Palumbo, like we talked about. But we'll see what happens. I guess Elvis is going to be around. We got to find a place for Calhoun and Chu to play. And what if Beltre comes back? So a lot of stuff to... There's a lot of... you know, kind of tangled stuff to sort through. So as that stuff kind of becomes a little bit more clearer and untangled, we will be here to talk about it. because it's fun and we love the Rangers and you love the Rangers and it's all good because someday we will win the World Series. Anyways, thanks for listening and we'll see you soon.